dear congregation, the theme for this morning's sermon, Easter morning, is the Lordship of the Risen One. The Lordship of the Risen One. Three thoughts. First, He is wonderful. He is wonderful. Second, He seeks out. He seeks out. And third, He goes before. So the theme is the Lordship of the Risen One. Three thoughts. He is wonderful. He seeks out. And He goes before. And the text words for this morning's sermon you'll find in Mark 16, verse 6. Let's read them again. Mark 16, verse 6. And He said unto them, be not affrighted. In other words, fear not. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Past time. He is risen. Present perfect. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. Thus far, the words for this morning. Well, the first thought is He is wonderful. What are the first words that we hear on Easter morning? What are the first words that are spoken, at least as far as they are recorded in Scripture? What are those words spoken on Easter morning? Well, they are spoken of by an angel. And because it is an angel, they are spoken by God, because that angel is God's messenger. What are the first words spoken by that angel? According to Mark 16, verse 6, be not affrighted. The first words on Easter morning. Be not affrighted. Matthew tells us in 28 and verse 5 that the angel says, fear not ye. Well, the same meaning, right? Be not affrighted, fear not. We often can fear the future. We can be affrighted because we know ourselves at least a little bit. We can be affrighted and fear because we know our past. We can be affrighted and fearful because we know that the death waits us all. And we can be so affrighted seeing all these things. Our past, our present, our future. The temptations around us. And we fear, and then hear these words, fear not. It is nice to see how the words in Mark complement the words in Matthew. Together they make one story. Mark tells us things that Matthew doesn't tell us, and the other way around. But together, take the words of Mark 16 and Matthew 28, we hear an amazing story. Mark 16, we just have read those verses. We have heard about three women. Mary Magdalene, verse 1. Mary, the mother of James. Salome. And we read that, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, after Sabbath, Yom Rishon in Hebrew, Sunday. They came to the sepulchre. And then they wander on their way, journeying towards that sepulchre, walking to that sepulchre. They ask among themselves, but what about that stone there? It's too heavy for us. We are too weak. We can't roll away that stone. Will there somebody to help us? We can't enter that tomb. And then that surprise, right? According to Mark, they look. In other words, they were close to that tomb and they look. And the stone was rolled away. What a wonder. And it says this there, right? Emphatically, it was very great. In other words, it is a wonder. And then they enter the sepulchre, the tomb, and they see a young man sitting on the right side there in that tomb. But he's special. He's not like the average young man, because he is clothed in a long white robe. And they sense he's an angel. A heavenly messenger. They just see it and they feel it. And we read they were affrighted. Well, that's Mark. That's Mark. And then we have Matthew. And Matthew tells us things that Mark doesn't tell us. And Mark tells about an angel descending from heaven, rolling back the stone. Those three women, they are unaware of it. They were just wondering, how can we ever enter that tomb? What about that stone? And in the meantime, God had already a solution. And he did send that angel, and that angel rolled away the stone, and they were unaware of it. And then we read that that angel sits down on that stone. And the guards standing there, they are startled and they flee. Of course, they see an angel. And then moments later, the women appear. And then in the meantime, the angel is in the tomb. And they see that same angel sitting there in the tomb. And then, fear not. Be not afraid. Fear not. Right? They expected the body of Jesus. They expected death. They expected darkness. And instead of death, there is a heavenly messenger. Instead of the darkness of death, there is the light of heaven in the tomb. But the body of Jesus is taken away. So they are startled. They fear. They expect death. And instead, heaven is present. Of course they fear. And this story reminds us of what happened around the birth of Jesus Christ. There too were divine messengers sent from heaven. Right? We know how a messenger was sent to Joseph, to Mary, to Zechariah, to the angels in the field. They also are angel or angels. And here again. In other words, Jesus' life is sandwiched between announcements of heavenly messengers. He is truly the Son of God. At the beginning of his life, heaven opened. God's Son descends and becomes flesh. And there at the end of his life, heaven opens again. You see. But here, those three women, they fear. Because that young man, he radiates the light of heaven. Like Moses, right? He met God on the mountain. The children will know that, how Moses met God on the mountain. And when he came back, his face glistened so much that he had to cover it because the people couldn't see him. They were afraid to see him because he still radiated God's glory. Well, the same here with that angel. That angel radiates God's glory and light and majesty. So they bow down, they fear, they are afraid. Be not fearful. There is a message of great joy. They expected death again. But instead, heaven is opened and even present there. Amazement and fear may give way for joy. You know, that's the miracle of Easter. We expect death. Because we know of our sin. We know of our fallen sin. We know that we are covenant breakers. We know of the curse that rests on covenant breakers. Death. So we all expect death because we know that we are sinners. And yet, instead of death, there is life. That's the joy and the wonder of Easter. But it's all because of Jesus Christ. He entered our death. He entered the death of covenant breakers. He took upon himself the covenant curse. And in him, forgiveness. In him, the guilt taken away. In him is life. In him, heaven is present. In him is paradise present. That's the wonder of Easter. The Lord is doing the impossible. How is it possible that for us, covenant breakers, sinners, and let's be honest, even after having received grace, there is still so much sin. How is it possible that there is life, that death is conquered? It's a wonder. Well, Christ's name is wonderful. But you know, you see that pattern that God is wonderful all over in Scripture. Think of the words spoken to Abraham, Genesis 18. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? There is not. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we deserve God's wrath because we are covenant breakers. But is anything too hard for the Lord? We can't repay God. Impossible. We can't take away that debt. Impossible. Because we are spiritually dead. But is anything too hard for the Lord? It's not. Elihu speaks to Job. And there we hear the same things. In the words of Elihu spoken to Job, we hear that marvel about God's work. He says in Job 37, God thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things does he, which we cannot comprehend. In other words, he says, notice the wonders of God in creation. And this morning with Easter, we say, notice the wondrous work of the Lord in recreation. We can't overcome death. Impossible. Our sin is too great. We are spiritually dead, totally depraved. And yet, there is a wondrous work of recreation in and through Jesus Christ. Is anything too wonderful for him? anything too hard for the Lord? It isn't. Or consider Psalm 118. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, that's Easter. The Lord turns things around. We expect death. And yet there is life in and through Christ. Things are turned around. The proud will be scattered by the Lord. The humble will be lifted up. He seeks out the humble. We'll hear that later in the sermon. The Lord turns things around with Easter. He makes the poor rich, but the rich he will make poor. He turns things around. Is anything too wonderful for him? What man thought evil, the death of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion, God turned into something good. God is a God of miracles and wonders. He truly is. Or lastly, you know, God's word is filled with awe, seeing that the Lord is doing wondrous things and miracles, and that he can do the impossible. What we can do, he does. Consider Isaiah 8. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be Wonderful. You see, expect wonders from him. Lord, I wrestle with my sin. I can't overcome it. Lord, I do not know whether there is forgiveness with me. Lord, that moment of death that awaits me. Well, see the wonderful work of the Lord in Jesus Christ. He turns things around. And that tomb of death becomes a gate of heaven in Christ. Again, on Easter morning, the women expect death. And they find life. And all because of Christ. You know, the wonder is that God seeks out the dead and makes them alive. All in and through Jesus Christ. He seeks out dead sinners and he makes them alive. Amazing. What joy is Easter? He is risen. No. Sin doesn't have the last word. Death doesn't have the last word. The curse doesn't have the last word. In Jesus Christ, in him, things are turned around. For him, nothing is impossible. Oh, let's go out to him. Where you see death in yourself, flee to Christ and find life in him. Where you expect judgment because of your shortcomings and your rebellions, you can find acquittal in Christ. You see, let's end this first thought. When you see those wondrous works of God in Christ, your life is a life of awe and wonder, and therefore in thankfulness. Let's move on to the second thought. He seeks out. The angel doesn't stop speaking after the words, "Be not affrighted." He begins with those words, Not only to the women, but he speaks also to us. God speaks to us this morning. Be not affrighted, be not fearful of the uncertainty of life, of your sin. Be not fearful. He takes away the fear, the trepidation. He takes it away and comes with something wonderful, amazing, so good. Amazing, eh? God first places his hand on our shoulder to take away that fear and trepidation. And then he continues to speak. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, right? Which was crucified. And the sinner here this morning says, yes, I seek Jesus. Some of us will say, and I found him, and are full of joy on Easter morning. Others will say, I'm not sure whether I found him, whether he is truly mine. And others will say, I didn't surely find him. I seek him, but I didn't find him yet. Hear the words. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. The Lord sees into our heart and he knows what's in our heart here. Which was crucified. Oh, the Lord indeed knows our hearts. Let that be a comfort for you. He knows what lives in your heart. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. David, right? That sinner. But David is also the man that asked for the Lord, that sought him continuously, and that knocked on his door. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. But the Lord does not only know David, not only those women. He knows each one of us. Therefore this morning, don't hide anything from God, please. Confess your sins. Come before him in repentance. And hear the words spoken by the angel and therefore by God on Easter morning. What a comfort. On Easter morning. You know what the wonder is? Indeed, those women seek the Lord. But the greatest wonder is that the Lord seeks these women. He seeks them out. And therefore, he sends a messenger from heaven, and he speaks through that messenger, through that angel. And please mark, he passes by many. He seeks out those women. Who does he pass by? The Pharisees with all their theological baggage. You know, their knowledge is enough here. They are puffed up in their mind. And therefore they do not seek the Lord. So the Lord passes by them. Or consider the priests. It is enough that they serve the Lord. We serve the Lord. We pray. We bring our sacrifices. It's enough for them. Filled with religious obligations. And the Lord passes by. They are not seeking and the Lord doesn't seek them. He passes by them. The fellow townsman of the Lord Jesus from Nazareth, right? They think they know Jesus as the son of the carpenter. Well, they know him wrongly. Or think about the powerful of the day, like the king and the emperor, right? Pilate and Herod and all those men. What they have in common? They do not seek the Lord. They do not need the Lord. But those women, they can't without the Lord. And the wonder is the Lord seeks them. And they are the first to hear the wonderful proclamation and the news and the gospel of the resurrection. You see, on Easter morning, you see, especially on Easter morning, how thrilled the Beatitudes are. Consider again those who are passed by. And consider those women sought out by the Lord. And then put aside that picture, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Are you poor in spirit? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For you is the kingdom of heaven. That's why they found heaven in the tomb. Life instead of death. Because they are poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Here are those women. They mourn. Their Messiah is dead. They expect death, not only for the Messiah, but also for themselves. What about God's promises? What about the promised salvation? They mourn. Oh, here. When you mourn in this life, you will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Not the proud, the meek. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. You see, that's the picture of those three women. The Beatitudes. We hear Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. And let's be honest, we are foolish. But God has chosen the foolish, not the wise. Or are you wise in your own eyes? And on Easter morning, the Lord passes by. But he seeks out the poor, the foolish. God has chosen the weak things of the world. There are the weak things, those people that cry out, Lord, I fall short. Lord, I don't know. Weak. To confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. The Lord does indeed a wonderful work. The least deserving receive grace. The least deserving who expect death receive life. What a wonderful message. Again, that message that God is a God of miracles. He's doing wonders. Expect wonders and miracles from the Lord. Again, Isaiah 8, right? His name is wonderful. That's the name of Christ. His name is wonderful. Not my name. His name is wonderful. He left heaven. God became flesh. I can't explain it. He suffered. How can God suffer? In Christ, how is it possible? He entered into our death. But he overcame death. He conquered death. God is indeed an amazing, wonderful, wonder-doing God. And then the fact that on that journey that Jesus traveled down to earth and then descending to earth and then ascending to heaven, on that journey he takes with him whom? A bridal church, an undeserving bride. He takes an undeserving bride with him. He left heaven to visit an undeserving bride and to clothe that bride in white garments of righteousness, to adorn her with all kinds of heavenly blessings, and to take that bride with him to heaven, to be with him on the new earth. Easter, what a wonder. You know, those women here on Easter morning, they were indeed hungry and thirsty for righteousness, of course. They were hungry and thirsty for Christ. Why were they hungry and thirsty for Christ? Because they had heard his words, seen his wonders, they were drawn by his love. And they couldn't help it, but they were just drawn by his love. And they were set in motion. And we read at the end of verse 1 that they followed him and ministered unto him. Amazing. Right? Jesus called 12 disciples to leave everything and to follow him and to serve him. Here we have women drawn by his love who leave everything and follow him. Voluntarily, they surrender to Jesus Christ because of his love. And they become his servants. And now on Easter, they become his witness. They served him with their goods. But from hands on, they will serve him as witness. As a witness. It's remarkable that those women were a witness of what? Three facts. Three historical events, three events of salvation. First of all, they were a witness of the burial. Secondly, they were a witness of the crucifixion, and then of the burial, and then of the resurrection. They saw all those things and they were witnesses of them. Right? Mark 15, verse 40. There were also women, the same women, looking on afar off, they saw Jesus crucified. They were a witness there. Then, Luke 15, verse 47. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld, saw where he was laid. In other words, they were a witness of his burial. And then Mark 16, verse 4. And when they looked, they saw the stone rolled away, right? And they saw the empty tomb, and they saw the angel. They were a witness of the resurrection. Three times Mark uses the word see. They saw the crucifixion, they saw the burial, they saw the resurrection. The Lord made them a witness. You know what their task is now? To tell the disciples that Jesus was risen, so that they would believe, and they would go out, that others would believe, and others would go out, that others would believe, and here we are, 2,000 years later. It is all that we will become a witness, and that others will believe through our words. The wonder of Easter, what a wonder it is. Good Friday. That suffering, the crucifixion, the death. But he cried out, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. He paid in full. And therefore, 3 days later, Easter morning, death could not hold him. Because he paid in full. So he rose up. What a wonder. Life where death is expected. What a wonder. He is risen. Well, before we move on to our last thought, let us sing Psalter 77, Psalm 30. And we'll sing two stanzas, 2 and 5. Stanzas 2 and 5, Psalter 77. And then we will move on to the last thought, He Goes Before. The last thought, He goes before. Again. Death is conquered. Its effect. Its effect. He is risen. Its effect, in other words, the dead has been paid for. Sin and guilt are taken away. God's wrath is satisfied. What an amazing thing, the wonder of Easter. And the Lord appears through His angel and comes with that wonderful message. He is not here. He is risen. What a gospel. And those women are turned into witnesses, so they will witness and bring that message to the disciples and the disciples to others. And we hear that we may embrace it and believe in Jesus Christ being our Savior, finding our life in Him, and He turns and transforms us into a messenger, a witness. He is risen. It's amazing. Paradise. In paradise stood the tree of life. But we were dispelled, right, expelled from the garden. So that we couldn't take from that tree of life. And instead we found the grave. The grave waits for all. Instead of the tree of life and everlasting life because of our sin, we found death and grave, the tomb. But here with Easter, it is reversed. The tree of life, there was just a sign and seal of Christ, the source of life. Here with Easter morning, death conquered, the tomb empty. Christ is alive. In him is the paradise. Paradise restored. You see, the covenant curse taken away. There's just only what's left then is no longer a covenant of works, but the covenant of grace, and that's all. That curse is taken away. So there is the covenant of grace. Grace alone. Christ is the source of life. What an amazing miracle is Easter. Well, the angel is not yet finished. He continues to speak. He is not here. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. You know, the mistake of those women is that they seek the living with the dead. But you will never find life when you seek here among the dead. Never. You will never find life when you keep searching here on earth. Never. You will just find dead. You can look into yourself and your own strength. You can look to your own feeling. You can look to others. You can look to the world. You will only find dead. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Seek it in Christ. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. With him is life. You will never find it elsewhere. You will find life with him. Empty tomb. Empty tomb. He is not here. You see, it comes down to living out of his words. It all comes down to that. What a gift is his word. Assurance of faith. You find it here. Just in his word. It all comes down to resting on his word. Living out of his word. But those women, they had forgotten his words. And that's why they thought, they sought the living among the dead. What a mistake. He is risen. Amazing. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And they saw that empty tomb. And they were convinced he is alive. And they remembered his words. Of course. Suddenly they remembered them. And from now on, it is all about his words. It's not about seeing. They are spiritually seeing. But not with our physical eyes. It is about reading his word. Believing his word. That's what it's all about. And that's why the Holy Spirit has been poured out on Pentecost. That's the reason. Because he will make that word of God a living word of God. And then the final words. Spoken by the angel, go your way. It doesn't stop on Easter. When you find life in Christ, it doesn't stop there. No, go your way. Go on in your life. And again, they hear an important word, a message here, a command. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you. Those women are given a mission. We are given a mission. To be a witness of Christ by word and deed. Tell others. Including the lost ones. And you, he will go before you. He will lead you. Because how can we be a witness? Well, we have the promise. He will go before you. He will lead you. He knows already where you will be tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. He knows it. And he will go before you. That you may live as one who is made alive and turned and transformed into a witness. What a promise, eh? He is going before you. He goes ahead on the path of life. And remember, He walked the path of death, the path that we are walking now. He knows what we experience. He knows what is waiting, but he conquered death. Just follow him. He goes before you. Follow him as close as possible all the days of your life. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for this gift of Easter. He is risen. Oh Lord, when we look to ourselves, we expect death. Yet there's life in Christ. Oh Lord, please that we will not seek the living life among the dead, because we will never find it here or in ourselves. Oh, let us listen to thy word, to thy precious promises, and hold on to them, and find our life in Christ, the living word. O Lord, that we may indeed be a witness of thee, in word and deed, all the days of our life. We trust thee, Lord, that thou wilt go before us. We do not know what life will bring us. But we have that promise. He will go before you. Lord, lead us. Forgive our sins, Lord, and bless us in and through thy Son. We ask thee to bring us here again later today to hear for the second time the message of Easter. Hear our prayer in the name of thy Son. Amen. We will sing Psalter 420. 420, that's Psalm 68. And we'll sing one stanza, stanza 5. So, Psalm 68, Psalter 420, the fifth stanza. lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.